Tommy Fleming's here. We'll have another wee sample, because Kathy was in the cutting room putting this together, so it hated to go to waste.
And friends just can't be found like a bridge over troubled water. I will lay me down.
Was it all so frightening? I really couldn't see which move to make. You know I'm right when I say the best is yet to come.
And I'm strong when I'm on your shoulders. You raise me up to more than I can be. Something inside so strong. Doing me wrong, so wrong. You thought that my pride was gone.
Brilliant stuff, Tommy Fleming. So that was your intro. Are you okay? Yeah, okay. Sitting talking. It's brilliant how blasé you are, not even listening to your own stuff on the radio.
I'm trying not to listen to it.
do you go back on old recordings and think, whoa, should have done that differently?
I've done that loads of times. But I mean, look, there's a lot of shoulda, coulda, woulda in this business.
But a lot of artists do torture themselves when punters still think it's great. You know, you might think, I'd love to do that again, you know.
There's some of them I would. Some of them I'm very happy with that I never thought would work. And then there's some of them we've kind of resurrected again when we'd sit down and go, geez, I haven't heard that song in ages. We should try that live again. Mm-hmm. We haven't done it and sang it for maybe 10 years. And we've started doing that again now on this tour. So I suppose when you're nearly 23 years down the road,
I suppose, yeah,
you have to start resurrecting some of the stuff.
But tell me this, when you resurrect some of the old stuff, because people do, you know, some people maybe bought your first album and that's the one they like, or you know,
there is.
Do you change the arrangement a bit?
I don't know. We don't really know. We kind of, a live arrangement, we would change it. Mm-hmm. Tempo could be different, or there could be something added into it that we didn't put in before. Or,
no, the reason, you know, I ask, Dylan's famous for doing it, and Van Morrison's famous for doing it. I mean, you'll hear an oldie in the set list, but it doesn't bear any resemblance to the original arrangement.
No, we wouldn't change that much.
Sometimes it's nearly over before you realise what the song
what
is,
the
you know?
Song was. No, I would never change it that much. It's kind of, some of the songs, like, we're brought back in, a friend of mine wrote a song called Welcome to the Real World, which we recorded on the very first album, but we did a very, very different version of it on the Sand and Water album about 4 years later. So that's the second version we're going to bring back live, which we haven't done in, I'd say, 15 years.
Yeah.
We brought back the Paul Brady song, Follow On, which hasn't been sang in maybe, I'd say, 12, 13 years. So there's a few of them that, and there's some that we're bringing in that we've never done before at all, that we've never recorded. So we're testing the waters.
But it keeps it fresh for you then as well.
Yeah, it has to, absolutely. Yeah.
You couldn't just go out and do the same 20 songs
all the
time.
But the lads in the band,
you
know, make me laugh, because I'd still do the same 20 songs for the full tour.
Yeah.
But after about the fifth night, I'm already bored. I'm already kind of, I'm fed up, I need to change it again.
Yeah. Do you ever throw a funny one at the band in the middle of the set? You know,
no, never.
They're not expecting, no? Just in case they're sitting reading the paper, you know?
There's the odd one I throw in and they'll go, what? Yeah, let's try it.
Kidding. No, but you know, I suppose it's, at the end of the day, it's all about giving your audience what you think they're going to want anyway.
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, Johnny, the audience are the... Without the audience, we wouldn't have a job. We wouldn't have a job that we love. And it's them that's keeping us in that job. And you have no idea how grateful we are for that. So it's not kind of... I hate to use the term, he who pays the piper calls the tune. It's not so much that. It's, look, the audience are there to... You're not there to please yourself.
Yeah.
You're there to please the people that have come to see you and paid good money to see you.
Yeah.
And they deserve that. And they don't deserve a short show. They deserve a good 2 hours, if not more, that they get up from their seats, walk out and go, that was brilliant, and I'll come back.
Mm. So you're very conscious of the fact that I have to make these people walk out of there very impressed.
Well, I mean,
then, you know?
And I would be punchers if we go to see somebody's show. And many times you've got up and left and said, they could have played a bit longer. That wasn't really great. The sound. I mean, it's loads of times you leave doing that and you just say, I think it's... I never say I strive for perfection. It's... I just make sure that it works and it's good and people like it.
Mm.
And of course it's got its critics and everyone's got them, but you just try and keep it as solid and as normal and as down to earth as possible.
Yeah, the last time, a couple of my family went to see you the last time and they said it was the best show they'd seen in years now.
Oh, really?
Last time you played here.
That's a great compliment. Thank
you. Seriously, so they actually warned me, make sure you tell that fella that. You know, it was one of those ones.
Well, he's telling me now.
Yeah. You know, so, I mean, it does work, but it's good that you bear that in mind and it's a strong point for you because some artists forget it, you know. I've been to see acts who were heroes of mine and you go to the gig and they're going through the motions and you know they just can't wait to get backstage and have a beer or do what they're doing, you know.
That's not what it's about. I mean, at the end of the day, it's a job and it's a good job. It's been a great job to me. It's been a great job to everyone that works around me. And as I said, there's a lot of great people that keep me in that job.
Yeah. No, it's good that you still realise and take that on board. How many albums have you released now?
Ooh. If I don't include the collections or best of... 12.
Yeah.
If I include them, I'm 14. Yeah, I think it's 14.
It's a big back catalogue.
Yeah,
particularly if you've got people coming to see you, you know, for you to draw from. Do you consciously try and take a couple of songs from each
album? We do it on every tour. And in fairness to Conal here, I'm on my left, David, who's the MD in the band, and everybody really is involved in the band. We all kind of have an input into it. And if there's a suggestion made, we kind of take it on board. And 9 times out of 10, we go with the suggestion.
Yeah.
You know, even on the last album, Begin, I suggested a song to Conal to see what he thought of it. And for those of you listening, Conal is here on my left on guitar, which was an old Luke Kelly song called The Night Visiting Song. And so that was kind of, you know, the whole idea is put out. It's a delegation put into it, you know. It's not just a one-way street with it.
No, that's good. You know, do you do Twitter and Facebook this stuff?
I do a bit of Facebook. I'm no good at the Twitter thing. I'm no good at it. It's kind of... I'm not diligent enough, if that makes sense.
I always sit and think, what am I going to say? Yeah. You know, I'm sitting having a cup of tea. I'm not going to write that.
So I think Twitter is just too personal for me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's kind of... There's a line you draw that you don't let them in.
Yeah.
And what I mean by them is everybody.
No, but there has to be,
You know, that's kind of... You have to... Privacy was invented for a reason.
Yeah.
You know, I would have a lot of... I would be very private in many, many ways. And Twitter is just too public for me.
Yeah.
Whereas Facebook is a lot easier handled.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
You know, Facebook is more like a blog than...
Yeah.
Then Twitter is very much like, you don't want to be telling somebody when you're going to the toilet, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but others do.
I don't get that.
I was sitting looking, going, why did you feel the need to tell the world that?
The one I really don't get, this is the one that really pees me off, which is photographs of what they're eating.
Instagram
why?
Photographs. Yeah,
why?
Here's my dinner.
Yeah.
What for? Before Twitter, did you run out in the street and show everybody your dinner? You know?
No.
I'm eating. No.
And I just think it's got to a point that it's actually dangerous because you could be in a situation that's actually very innocent and within minutes it can be misconstrued from a photograph, Instagram, whatever it may be. And you just think, hang on a minute, this is just not private enough for me.
No, as you say, there are lines of demarcation. I would be the same as you now and again, I'd be on it. But it does astound me, that the stuff that some people...
My wife is hilarious, Tina. I said, what are you joining Facebook for? Now, if you think... I would work in the public eye, but Tina's very, very, extremely private. She joined Facebook and I said, why did you join Facebook? To see what's going on. She never puts a post up or anything.
But haven't we nosy at what's going on?
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I suppose so. So listen, what gigs are you doing in our neck of the woods next?
It's a few months away, but I just said I wanted to get in before Christmas in case there's people thinking of Christmas presents.
Oh, you shrewd businessman. You've nothing to learn.
The Ulster Hall in Belfast. We're returning to the Ulster Hall after a long break from it because we haven't played the Ulster Hall in a few years. And that's on the 21st of February, Friday the 21st of February. And then in the Millennium Forum in Derry on the 28th of February, and then one of the smaller shows is on Valentine's Night in the Burnavon in Cookstown, which we haven't played in a while either. So three shows in the north, and as always, there'll always be a great reaction, a great turnout. Belfast is always a brilliant one for us. So.
No, you're very popular. When I said you were coming on, there was a clatter of people in touch, you know. Well,
excellent.
Right, coming on, Brendan. What time's he on? What time's he on? You know.
Thanks for that, fellas.
So, have you played the Ulster Hall since it was all done up?
No, the last time we played it, I think, was something like 2009, as far as I know.
It's been done up since then now. It was always brilliantly acoustically, you know, but it's just been given a bit of a facelift. It's lovely.
Yeah, I'm dying to return to it. It's a really, I know, there's something really lovely and quaint about it.
Yeah.
So just, and it's
one of the old style music auditoriums, you know, designed
just,
when no one had amps.
It's just the right size.
Yeah.
It's just ideally the right size.
Yeah.
You know, it's not too big, not too small. It's ideal.
That's terrific. Yeah. You know, there's enough people to give it a big atmosphere, but you can still see the whites of their eyes.
Exactly.
You know? So listen, you're going to give us a song, mate.
Well, look, seeing as it's Christmas, and I think there was a few people texting and or emailing asking for a Christmas song. So I'm going to do a song for all your listeners, which is one of my favourite Christmas songs. And this is In the Bleak Midwinter.
Ah, go on ahead. Good man.
In the bleak midwinter, frost and wind made moan. Earth stood hard as iron, water like a stone. Snow had fallen, snow on snow. And in the bleak midwinter, long ago, angels and archangels may have gathered there, cherubim and seraphim thronged the air, but his mother only in her maiden bliss worship the beloved with a kiss. What can I give him, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I would bring a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. Yet what can I give him? Give my heart. Yet what can I give him? Give my heart.
That's terrific. Thank you very much. Right, folks, that Tommy's version of that is on the album Song for a Winter's Night. And that's in the shops. Been for a couple of years anyway.
Any shop that's left up.
Exactly. Well, it's a phrase that trips off the tongue. And go to your record shop if you can find one. If you can find any left. Yeah, so Ulster Hall, 21st of February, Millennium Forum, 28th. And when's Bernavon
Centre? The 14th, Valentine's Night.
Oh, Valentine's Night, right, okay. Can't understand my own shorthand.
You're
getting in trouble when you can't understand your own,
to read mine, right?
Your own notes to yourself, you know. Connell, thank you, sir. You're a star. Thank you. Tommy, all the best.
Thank you, Janet.
Cheers, night.